Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman. I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of the Rejected Writers Book Club.
Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. Today we are airing our Best Of program. This is the time we celebrate our winners from the podcast awards. And this week we are celebrating Nicole Wagoner. She won for Most Creative Book Promotion with her tip that I'm using right now with putting something on your website that connects to your very first book and that leads into your second book. So with that said, let me introduce Nicole Wagoner again. This is a podcast we aired last year and are just celebrating again the great interview she gave us. Thank you, Nicole.
Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. This week on our show, we'd like to welcome Nicole Wagoner. She is author of the Circus of Women series. Book one, Central Ring, debuts in spring 2016, which is right around now. So we'll talk to her about that. In addition, Nicole is a decorated teacher with 12 years experience teaching upper level English and literary criticism courses. She's also a manuscript coach. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you too. Wow, so I didn't realize that when I actually did the intro until I just read it again, but it's spring 2016, we're right there. So has it been actually been released now, your book?
Yes, ma'am, it has. It released April 26th, so just a little over a month ago.
Wow, yeah. How's that going?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Sales have been very strong, and it made several Best Beach Reads of 2016 lists, and it's a Best Book Club of 2016 pick, and it was a Liz and Lisa Best Book of April, and then one of my male characters is about to be named on a top 10 fictional men to fall in love with this year list.
Wow.
That's insane.
By the way, his name is Patrick Grayson, and yes, he has been a really fun character to create, to write, and then to watch women react to. And of course, I have some less desirable men in there too.
Yeah. You need that contrast.
Like doing, just like we do in life, girl.
No, I wrote it all. So the good, the bad, the ugly.
That's amazing. So are you traditionally published or is this are you indie published?
I'm an indie. This is indie book. Yeah.
Wow. So you've got a lot of behind you just for being indie published. Yeah. That's amazing.
Wow.
It's being listed as a breakout novel of spring 2016, largely in part because it just has such a grassroots foundation behind it and support system on Amazon. If you go through and read the reviews, I read them every morning like they're the morning paper. It's really a problem. But I just this morning hopped on there and was at 75 four and five star reviews. And there was one from a woman who had written to say, thank you for writing this book. I'm undergoing chemotherapy treatments for breast cancer and it is getting me through.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's my favorite reviews.
I go through and I read them, and you work so hard on this product, and you send it out into the world, and it's akin to what I imagine a naked selfie floating around would be like.
You know? That's a good description.
My experience has been exactly the opposite, and I'm over the moon blessed and grateful for it, for everyone who's given me their time. I mean, a book is 8 to 10 hours of your life to give that to something and then to take the time to say, hey, I love this, and to tell your friends. It just really is something special.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Impressive.
Cool.
I will, yes, I keep a gratitude journal every day, and I really make a point to really reflect on how grateful I am for these strangers who have invited me into their hearts, into their homes, who rioted with me over the ending. And
that's
one interesting thing that this book has a cliffhanger. It ends on a cliffhanger, a pretty significant one. And we included a link at the back of the ebook and then just a website address in the back of the paperback version that takes you to the website, and you can read the first five chapters of book two, which is called The Act. immediately, and I saw the clinger on page one.
That's a brilliant strategy. Yeah. I love that.
And you're not supposed to have favorites. You know, they're kind of like kids. You're not supposed to have favorites, but, you know, you like the one that's sleeping the best. The first page of book two is, I think, my very favorite page of the entire trilogy.
Wow. So now we all have to, like, read the book and go to the link to know all these things.
I know. I feel intrigued. Me too. I have to go read that now.
That is a great strategy. How did you come up with that? Was that just someone gave you that idea, or did you just come up with
that? No, I threw it out there to the publisher, to She Writes Press. I said, hey, I think this could either be a flop or a fail. And they said, let's try it and see what happens. And so far, I've had 900 people go to the website and read the sample pages.
Wow.
So, yes.
I'd say that's
And they must be very well-mannered folks, because no one has posted any spoilers that have made it my way that I've seen. So.
Wow. That's good. I like that concept, though, that you're bringing them directly from your book into your social media stuff, you know, your website and everything else. And then they look around and they see what else you've got. I mean, I think that's genius. I love that.
Thank you. I just, again, just feel so honored that people, you know, loved it to read. The first one is a chunk of a book. The first one is 422 pages. Wow. And that they, you know, they're hanging out with me for 422 plus some.
Yeah. So. Well, they're attached by then.
Inside at 80,000 words. So the second and third books, the second one is at 80,000 words, and the third one will shape up to end at about, I would say, about 84. So it's right. Definitely, you've got a lot of exposition and story mapping in the first one that then, of course, carries on to the next two.
Right.
That's amazing. So tell us a little bit about your journey, because I know you were a teacher, or are you still a teacher? And now you're writing. So tell us a little bit about how that all crossed over into writing a book.
Absolutely. So I was a teacher first. I adore teaching. It's my first love. I never, ever thought I would do anything else. But life happens, and my husband's profession took us to Oklahoma, to Norman, Oklahoma. And the joke about the book is that I missed my girlfriend so much that I made up 5 imaginary friends and wrote a book.
That's awesome.
So that is the journey. It literally is the book that Nap Time wrote. I was teaching online versus in a traditional classroom after the move. And so I would teach my classes, and it was literary criticism and formal writing. And I would, you know, grade my papers. And then while my daughter was napping, I would type out a scene. And the book is told in multiple perspectives. So it's told from all 5 friends' perspectives, and it head hops. And so I would wake up and I would write from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And then I would edit during nap time. And then I would write from about 9 to 11, you know, sometimes 1. So pretty much it is the book that Zombie Living wrote, too.
Wow, that's amazing. Had you always wanted to be an author? Is that something you always wanted to do?
No, I mean, I've been a lifelong lover of literature, literary criticism in particular, and I teach symposiums on structure as a rhetorical device, and I never thought that I would actually pick up a pen and write a book. But I've been just a lover of literature, all different genres of literature, lifelong, and of course, you know, teaching it, so.
Wow. Yeah, wonderful. So how long ago did you start writing it?
I began writing it 2 years ago. I finished, it took about a year to write it, and then I pursued publication, and that was about another year, so 2 years.
Yeah, wow. So tell us a little bit about that. You are published with She Press, is that correct?
She Writes Press, yes. They're out of Berkeley, California. Brooke Warner is the publisher.
And so you actually got the book to him, and so it came from him, was it? Is that how that worked?
Yes. So.
Cool.
Brooke is the publisher, and she selects the titles and, you know, and guides them through the production process, essentially.
And how did you find them?
Celine Keating and I met at a conference in New York when I had finished writing the book and was preparing to pursue publication. And she and I were both picked up by an editor at St. Martin's, and she deviated from that and went with She Writes Press and just raved about her experience. And so I checked them out and decided that I would do the same. And it's been a wonderful experience.
Cool. That's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about the Circus Trilogy. Give us a little background on what you say it's about 5 women. Tell us a little bit about what it's about.
Okay. So Circus of Women tells the story of 5 professional women. You meet them on a girls' night out at dinner, and one of them walks in with a confession to make. And what she says rocks the group to its core. And after Nora drops his bombshell, every chapter is told from a different character's perspective. So you walk in their skin and their lives with their very different choices. And it's about at the end of the day saying, hey, I'm broken, you're broken. Let's become a sister to the tightrope and lift each other up.
Cool.
That's essentially the summation of it. The five professional women are very different from each other. Again, it gets compared to Sex and the City with real world problems constantly.
Right.
Which I take as a huge compliment.
Yeah.
But it is. Yeah. The five women, one of them is a stay-at-home mother of two, a professor turned stay-at-home mother of two. That's Layla. And she is hands down the most like me, my life story, my parenting. And then there is Kate, who's a designer, Cammy, who's a photojournalist. And Cammy's first line of the book is, fired how?
Right.
She says, say what you will about, workplace equality, because the more estrogen in the room, the more likely I am to be misunderstood. She's the character who is the least like me. She's very direct and assertive. She doesn't shy away from confrontation, and I would walk over hot coals to avoid it.
Wow.
So you're exploring all parts of your psyche.
And then Nora is the one with the confession to make. Nora is an OBGYN, so she's a surgeon. And see, who did I leave out? Oh, Ellie. Ellie, everyone loves Ellie. Ellie is a publicist, and her first line of the book, she's meeting with a matchmaker, and she's embarrassed about it, and he asks her why her last serious relationship failed, and she tells him, I didn't like his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Oh, how fun.
Good. So they're not all married, they're not all mothers, they're very different, and I use them as composites of the strong women I'm blessed to know in my life, and composites of what I really feel is the juggling act of modern womanhood.
Wow.
Sounds good.
So how challenging is it to write from five different viewpoints like that? Is that a challenge for you?
You know, it really is. Go big or go home. I don't know. Maybe it's the overachiever in me, but I find it that structure is the key. And I think I mentioned that I teach structure as a rhetorical device. And I will never forget reading Amy Tan's The Joy Luck Club in high school. And just being, I had never read a multi-perspective novel before that. And just being totally transported into each of the characters' experiences and falling in love with what structure brings to a piece. So yes, it's very difficult. But the structure is the key.
Yeah, Stealing Time is written with multiple perspectives. And for me, it's a lot of fun because you get tired of writing in one character, then you switch to the other one. You know, there's different elements of the story.
And I love it, yeah. And you can be people you're not. Like Cammy, like I would never handle a confrontation like she does, you know? So I love it. And I think that you hit the nail right on the head. It's so fun to switch perspectives, and it keeps the writing interesting. It keeps your voice, I feel, fresh. And as difficult as it is, it's also equally as fun. And with me writing in nap times, I could write a vignette.
There you go.
All I had to do was a vignette.
Yeah, I remember those days writing during naps. And then they quit napping, and you're like, now what do I do?
I know. Seriously. So, and I would give anything to nap.
I know, wouldn't you? I have the time.
Yeah, I think I do a lot of Instagramming, and one of my favorite hashtags is Mommy Writer.
Mommy Writer, oh, that's good.
I did a Barnes & Noble event a few weeks ago, and I took my kids to the zoo that morning, and I lost my car for almost an hour.
Oh, no.
And of course, I said I live in Oklahoma, so it's not exactly frigid temps here. And I lost my car for an hour and had to go to my book event in Spandex.
The zoo, no less.
Well, you're just a good advertisement for your book, you know, women juggling their lives.
Yes.
Exactly. I believe in it wholeheartedly.
So funny.
Too fun.
Is after this trilogy completes, is going back and writing The Circus of Men from the men in their lives perspective.
Wow, that would be interesting.
Yeah. There has been quite a bit of interest from readers reaching out to me. And it's another interesting thing. You mentioned that one of your sons was studying screenwriting.
Well, it was a friend of mine's son, yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of your sons. Okay, sorry. I made up an entire movie in this in this book. It's the Patrick Grayson, the fictional man to fall in love with this year. He is an actor, and he's one of Ellie's clients, actually, the publicist. And he has come to fame young in a trilogy I called Destiny. And it was a young adult fiction turned blockbuster movie franchise. And he plays a fallen angel.
Oh, nice.
And so he's come to fame from that. relatively young, but now he's in his, you know, mid-30s, and he wants to do real film, but he's typecasted and branded as kind of like one of those sexy Twilight boys, or... So he is doing real film, and the film he's just completed is called Life of Us. And again, I made this all up, but I have gotten more requests to write this as a screenplay than I ever even considered doing. And in Life of Us, Patrick Grayson plays a terminally ill man who spends the last year of his life recording video diaries for his husband and for their children. And so it's this piece of real film that he's done, and he is, you know, about to go on promo for, and winds up in the middle of a paparazzi scandal right before.
All these layers in your story. I love it.
Well, Elias, his publicist, is, you know, trying to spin him out of this mess after he's been photographed with I called her a Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart.
A not separated from her husband Pop-Tart on a ski slope.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, yeah, there's definitely a lot of layers to it.
The thought of doing the screenplay and having a movie connects to it, and then you have, you know, then you could have a movie of the book that connects to it. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do this. This sounds really neat.
Like I said, my own brand of crazy, but
it's a good
kind of minor part of it. You know, the Life of Us film is just a minor part of it, but it was interesting to see people cabbage onto that.
Yeah, they're connecting enough with the characters, and then they'll want to see that. That's a very good sign. Okay, so Nicole, you work hard to hone your public speaking skills. Tell us what it is you do to work a room.
Well, it all goes back to teaching high school and middle school. And, you know, teenagers, they can be a hostile audience. They really can.
True.
And you have to carry a room, and you have to engage them from the second your foot hits that carpet to the second the bell rings, if you're going to have any chance of parlaying your subject matter and really, really making an impact on, you know, on them and on their lives. And so I would always walk in and go, "Good morning, first period." They'd say it back. You know, I'd say, "I don't even drink coffee. Can you imagine?" And so I feel like the classroom, honing my skills there and keeping teenagers so engaged on, you know, Great Gatsby for 55 minutes, 8 sessions a day, really, really helped. And the best award I ever got was, I won Teacher of the Year 1 year, and my seniors made me a plaque that said, "Wonderful World of Wagoner, stand-up comedy English, where the learning comes through laughter." So I would always tell them, like, Wagonerisms, things that I wanted them to remember. Like, if I'm walking down the street and I kick a puppy, I've shown you something about my character. Action reveals character. Oh. True in real life. And so I always just had all of these little peaks. And when I felt like I was losing the room, I would do what I called a prize for my purse. And any student I've ever had will tell you about prizes from my purse. I went to Goodwill, and I found the most god-awful, ugly hobo bag, carpet bag you could find. And so, and then I just spent everyday errands filling it with prizes. And so it could be a packet of hot sauce or an airline stub. And they would always do, I gave it out for like insightful questions and responses and that kind of thing, participation. And so they would drum roll on their desk, and then I would go, prizes for my purse, it's hot sauce,
it's all
pencil.
That's hilarious.
You know, and it was just, it really helped. Now, when I speak to grown-up women, you know, that's totally different. But book clubs are my very favorite thing. I love talking to book clubs.
That is great. Well, people out there, contact Nicole for possible book club. Do you do like a Skype call or anything to connect with them?
I Skype in with them, or we FaceTime. And I did one with some Red Hat ladies. And I do personal appearances too. If I have a book event in the area, like I'll be in Austin next week at Book People, and I'll be meeting with 3 different book clubs in person while I'm in the area. But it's just my favorite thing. I also like it if they're tipsy when I get there.
So do you have an equivalent for prizes in my purse for the book clubs? You do anything fun with that?
I do. I hand out grown-up prizes. So Elsa and D is the sunscreen that I wear that people are always asking me, because I look tan, but it's fake. I'm fanatical about sunscreen, but you look on Facebook and I'm like, "What's your tan?" So Elsa MD gave me all of these little samples of the sunscreen, so I throw them out. I feel like Oprah.
Yeah, that's funny.
But to make a funny story from my classroom, I did have a group that I found, I discovered was cheating one year. They were writing, and this is not a how-to, kids listening.
Yeah, don't learn that.
They were writing the answers in little pieces of paper and winding them up and putting them in mechanical pencils. And so when I found out about it, the next time I gave a quiz, I always felt happy quiz day. Whenever I gave a quiz, I said, oh, no, I also have prizes. Everybody gets a prize. And so I got a little box of those golf pencils. And I said, everybody put everything away. You get a pencil. And you get a pencil.
And you, and you secretly undone their little strategy.
Still laugh about that.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a good one. Put the answer in a mechanical pencil.
I know.
I wish I'd have thought of that one.
I know, right? They're genius.
I used to write on my arm and on my leg. And
I know, yes. Our teachers out there took the water bottles and the pencils.
Oh, water bottles.
After I did that, Ed, I gave a big lecture of, you know, I love you. You always have a place in my heart. You know what I love the most is integrity. Because when you're living with integrity, you have nothing to worry about. What pencil to use.
What pencil to use. Oh.
Anyway, it was a good life lesson. Action reveals character.
Yeah. Add that to your book.
There's a Wagnerism for you.
That's good. Okay, so you're on Facebook and you run a Facebook group, and yeah. I'm sure you're on other social media.
So I'm on Facebook as Nicole Wagoner Author, and it drives me nuts I couldn't fit a comma in there, but they only give you so many characters. But on Facebook there, and then this Circus of Women, it grew, like I said, organically, because I was living in Oklahoma, but I was going back to teach in Rockwall. So I would go teach my classes. So I would go and I would have dinner with my girlfriends after my class, and, you know, we'd drink wine and have kind of like a grown-up sleepover sort of thing. And then I would go back and I'd drive over the Red River speaking all by myself. And so I started writing, and I started sending my girlfriends about 5 pages at a time as I finished them. And they were really into it. And I thought, oh, I'm just being nice because I have to live on the prairie and own a storm shelter. Seriously. I said, I need to find some book clubs. I said, who has a book club? So I got on meetup.com and I found some book clubs, and I pitched them the work, and I said, you know, it's a work in progress, but if I'm going to pursue publication, I want to know if I have something. And so book clubs, I didn't know what beta readers were. Like, I didn't know anything I didn't know.
Yeah,
and so I sent it out to just random book clubs around the country, and they read it and they loved it. And so that was my spur to publish it. They got the first 165 pages. And so I put them all in this group called My Squad. They call themselves Circus Freaks, which I think is kind of cute.
I like that.
I call them My Squad.
Good.
And I keep them in a public group. And if anybody wants to join it, you can definitely just reach out to me. And they see everything first. They run special contests in there and things like that, giveaways. It's a no-spoiler environment. And then they also, that's where I pick my ARC readers, my advanced copy readers.
Very good.
And then on Instagram, I'm an Instagram fanatic, and I have discovered the jazz hand emoji, guys.
The jazz hand emoji, guys.
It's like my spirit animal.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And I may be subject for an intervention soon because
overuse of jazz hand, guys.
I'm on Instagram as Nicole Wagoner, the author. And then I'm also on Twitter, but I don't understand Twitter. So I try. Bear with me.
So you're not. What about G+? We always have to ask that question.
Do I need to be on G+?
No.
Well, you do for SEO.
Yeah, Rachel gave us some really good advice about that, didn't she, KJ?
Yeah, you need to be on there for SEO. If you post your blog post or whatever that it shares onto Google+, then you're getting into the Google ranking. So you need to be on there. And then some people have, like Rachel, have a bunch of people following them and lots of conversations over there. But Suzanne and I find it kind of graveyard. It's like this.
Yes, I will be on Google+ shortly after this.
I was going to say, but just once a week, post something on there that gets your SEA ratings.
I do blog from time to time. I'm about to write one actually for She Writes, the website, and it's about my book launch. Because, you know, book launches, they can be either tedious or they can be, you know, an excellent opportunity for exposure and to make money. And I'm going to write a post about how I did mine on the budget of $150 and gathered sponsors for food and alcohol. I had a Cinco de Mayo themed book launch. So it was really fun. And you know how we did it on such a low budget and wound up selling 70 books at $15 a piece and, you know, that sort of thing. So,
oh, that sounds interesting.
The side of the launch. Yeah, it was a great night. We had raffles and I collected donations for the raffles from restaurants and things like that. And we even did the people who donated things. People got an extra entry for liking their pages on social media and that kind of thing. So it was very much a, and one of the things that I write in the book is that I feel like the supermom is our generation's version of June Cleaver vacuuming in pearls or Carol Rady with this effortlessly blended family that, you know, no one is really doing it all the time. We're all juggling and we're all dropping balls and, you know, that thing. And I was on one of my favorite authors, Susie Schnall. She wrote The Balance Project. I was interviewed for her Balance Project series earlier this year.
Cool. Well, while we're talking about your launch, you're right in the middle of a book tour right now. Tell us how you organize that and kind of some of the things that you've done in there.
Okay, great. So my publicist is Sharon Bailey, and she has definitely orchestrated most of the speaking events. And I wanted just like everything else in my life, I want to live authentically and I want my, you know, investments and my actions to reflect my values. So one thing that I asked her to do was to specifically focus on literacy outreach, medical missions, and, you know, just things that I really feel exemplify that love is a verb to be paid forward. And so I've done a lot with literacy outreach, including Neighbors Along the Line, in Tulsa, with their GED outreach. And then there's going to be a fundraiser with UMCOR, which is the United Methodist Corps of Relief, to fund medical missions, which Nora, the OBGYN character with the confession to make, she talks quite a bit about her time serving in Mumbai in the fistula clinics and how, you know, changing one life changes generations. And so we're going to there's going to be events associated with, we'll be at Top 10 Sellers in Texas. And then there's going to be an event from where we lived for, oh my goodness, over a decade on the lake in Rockwall. There's going to be a lake event. And then there are also several house parties. People who just love this book and have wanted to, you know, have their friends and invite me and, you know, sell more books. So it's kind of like, I mean, there's been several house parties that have sprung up. So that's something that I always am willing to do. Like I said, when a reader gives me 8 to 10 hours of their life, if I can Skype with them, if I can be there, I will.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like so much fun too, to like meet all these different readers and just.
It's been really fun. So, and then the tour stops that are behind us are, we've already done Orlando, and I had an event in South Carolina, which was a lot of fun. And then, it's already together. But several in to come in the Dallas area. And then my kids are out for the summer. I don't like to be away from them more than about 2 or 3 days, just as far as the juggling act gets really complicated with our schedules.
Well, that's cool. That sounds very exciting.
Like,
a lot of fun. I love that. Now, did you organize all that, or do you have someone that's helping you set that up?
Sharon helped organize some of it, and most of it was just invites. I've been very lucky to just receive invitations to come places.
Cool. So. Oh, that's so exciting.
Again, goes back to kind of that grassroots of the book clubs that were reading before there was a cover, before there was a title. This wasn't the original title. And so they've seen it in all of these different stages, and they've just been on this journey with me. And so it's kind of been a built-in book tour because, you know.
Well, that's a great way to do it.
I built an audience, and then I sold the book. I think I did this whole thing backwards.
Yeah, but it's working out.
Yeah, it looks like it's working out.
Yeah.
Playing the whole thing by ear, the whole author thing, parenting thing, my eyeshadow.
Your eyeshadow fits right in. Oh my God. Okay, so you're also a manuscript coach. Tell us about the services you offer and kind of what does that mean for those of us that may not know?
Okay, sure. So one of the services I offer is developmental editing. Now, I do not do copy editing. That's, you know, finding the quacking knees instead of the quaking knees.
Quacking knees.
That sort of thing. I offer manuscript coaching and developmental editing at an hourly rate with different packages. I take 2 to 4 clients at a time, and we take their work in progress and we look for the holes and we strengthen the holes.
Right.
And again, it goes back to structure as a rhetorical device, because most of the time when you read a book that just doesn't work, it's very rarely the character development or the plot. It's usually an issue of the pacing or the structure, and that's why the plot has fallen. So we kind of bring that imagination and idea to product.
That sounds very useful.
My most recent one that I worked with was actually a children's author.
Correct.
Yeah, I asked for sample pages. I am picky, not in that like wine snob kind of way, but I'm picky about the content. I only developmental edit for works of fiction and none that contain graphic violence because I have nightmares like I'm five.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to have your psyche destroyed in the process.
No.
Give us your website. Like, if people want the manuscript service, is that a different website than your author one?
Yes. You can get to it just typing my name in any search engine. It comes up www.nicolewagonerauthor.com.
That's good. And that's for both manuscript editing and your author?
Yes, there's a tab for services.
Good. Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's
And that's also where they go to read the teaser chapters of book two, which is called The Act, and which will be releasing February 9th.
Ooh, wow. Okay, that's exciting. All right, so Suzanne, do you feel like we're ready for a lightning round?
I think we are. This has been a great interview. I'm ready to, lightning rounder.
That's lightning round.
Right.
Are you ready? I think she's going to do really well with this. What is your favorite band or artist?
Michael Bublé.
Ooh, okay. Left coast or right coast? East coast or west coast?
West.
You're kind of dead center right now.
Me and my fake men are coming for you, California.
There you go. What is your favorite writing spot?
Starbucks.
Hey, that's one of my favorites. Are you a pantser or a plotter?
Plotter.
If you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
I would go to Gatsby's 20s.
Oh, nice. That would
we have
fun.
A lot of authors that want to go to the 20s. Yeah. We'll all be there.
Yeah, we should all meet.
I would be in Paris with Hemingway's wife.
Oh, wow.
Did you read that book?
I loved it. And she is a nice person. Oh, my goodness. Yes, she reached out and sent me the nicest letter on my publication day, just wishing me success and that sort of thing. Because I had told her how much I'd love, the Paris wife. So, yeah, Paula McLean will always. That was just fantastic. So.
Oh, wow. If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
I'd like to be invisible.
Oh, what would you do with that?
Not just like when there's housework that no one can see but me. I mean, like really invisible. Where I could like walk through walls and like spy on people.
Yeah, it's a good skill for an author because then you get into people's heads in a way that they don't let you in normally.
Yeah, I think I would be a pretty good invisible snoop.
Invisible snoop. All right, that's a good superpower. Who or what inspires you?
Kind people.
Oh.
Kind people. People who give back. People who come from humble beginnings and give back. And people who just embody humility. Look, for example, people like in the author world, people like Jane Green and Jennifer Weiner and Paula McLean. People who say, here's a seat at the table.
Nice. That's great. So, I love that.
That's what inspires me. Kind people. People who do things for those who can never repay them. Just the humble, the kind, the integrous.
Yes, very good. Okay, so which book do you wish you had written?
Something Borrowed, Something Blue.
Oh, that's good. Is that a similar kind of a style as yours?
Emily Giffen, yeah, she writes from multi perspectives, usually with just two perspectives. But Something Borrowed was the first of hers that I read, and I just fell in love with it. And Something Blue is the sequel to it. And it was just those two. Well, I mean, they rank right in my top 10 favorite books.
Right. So. Something about yours reminds me of that, though, the way they
say it. It's definitely a comparable title. It gets compared to Leanne Moriarty, which I may be saying her name wrong, and Emily Giffen a lot. And I actually just read Big Little Lies. And that was my first of her books, and I could definitely see the comparison. At Chick Lit Central, Melissa Amster, one of my all-time favorite book bloggers, she compared the two as well, and so I was like, oh, I've got to go pick it up now, and I did. I read the thing in, less than 48 hours. It was such a good book.
Oh, wow. All right, what is your favorite writing or author moment so far?
I would have to say the woman who reached out and told me that my book was getting her through chemotherapy.
Oh, yeah. I think
that was a high moment. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So Anne with Barnes & Noble tweeted that I was the perfect bee tree. That was a great moment, too.
That's pretty good.
I walked into lunch with some girlfriends the other day at this, oh goodness, it's just a little restaurant that I love in Norman called Blue. And I walked in and there was a woman sitting at a table reading my book. And so I just sat there and stared at her. I thought I was the biggest freak.
That's so cool though.
Yeah, I know. I was asking my girlfriend this. So I feel like it's a middle school cafeteria and we're looking at a boy. Like, do we go over there? Do we ask her if she likes it? Do I pass her a note? Buy her a drink? We do.
So what did you do?
Did you do any of those things?
I introduced myself and asked her if she liked it, and she said, there's no way you read this book. There's no way you read this book. God. And I said, well, go to that About the Author thing. That's me.
It must have blown her mind. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, when does that
happen? So anyway, I signed it for her, and she actually bought my lunch.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
No, it was one of those really sweet things. She did it just like on her way out, never said a word or anything like that. So I hope that I can see her again and repay the favor, which I actually bought because she had done that for me. The next day, I took donuts to my son's class, and I bought the car behind me. I bought their order. So.
Oh, see, paying it forward. That's great.
No, I hate donuts.
All right, so last question. One thing you wish you had been told about being a writer.
How much time you spend at the post office.
The post office. That's hilarious. It's true, though. I have to go today.
Always been my least favorite chore. But now we're besties. But I have sold a book every time I go to the post office. So
how do you manage that? I'm about to go to the post office. I need to take this with me and try it.
Well, I'm a big fan of the 30-second skinny pitch, so an elevator pitch. And, you know, when you're standing there looking like Santa Claus with a bunch of book mail, it's kind of a conversation starter. So I give them essentially the same pitch I gave you, that, you know, 5 professional women, 1 locks in a girl's night out with a confession to make, da da da. And then I just say, you know, if you want a signed copy, I hand sell them. I've got some in the car right now. And so usually I will either swipe a credit card or take cash, and it's I sell them for $15 even. So I don't get credit for it on Amazon, of course, because the book scan Nielsen doesn't register. But I have hand sold over 200 copies.
Wow. Just,
yeah. And that doesn't include my launch, which was also, I sold, I believe, around 70 or 75.
Wow,
so.
Nice. Well, see, there's a tip for everybody out there. When you're at the post office, you're at the dentist, you're at wherever you are.
I think it might have been a Starbucks, actually. He goes, sorry, I'm just so distracted today. I had a big fight with my girlfriend. And I said, well, do you need a present? I've got books right here and I can sign it for her. And he goes, oh my gosh, could you?
You're so brilliant.
And so I stood up in the parking lot, and it was the best inscription I've ever written. I will never forget it. It was, I'm sorry I said your new haircut looks like my mom's. Here are some better words.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Oh.
I'm telling you, yeah, that's like, I think had to be my top 10. And on my tombstone, I would like for it to read, it's all fictional.
For legal purposes.
I know, yes. And I highly recommend to all authors, I wish I had known what a beta reader was and that I was doing something, you know, that was kind of a traditional journey to publication. I was just thinking, I want to know if people are going to hate this. Are they going to care about, you know, Patrick Grayson and Ellie and Nora with the secret, and, you know, and anyway, so when they did, it really spurred me on, and it was the biggest confidence booster. So I think that all authors should have a squad.
Yeah, a squad is great. And I have one too. Suzanne does as well. And there's so many things. We have other authors that give us all these ideas of what to use with your street team, but just to have people to kind of help promote you and bounce ideas off of. And I mean, street team is really different than a beta reader, but they can be one and the same. You don't necessarily want all of your street team.
Can I be on this team? I want to be on your team.
Yay! That is great. Well, Nicole, this has been a great interview.
Oh, no problem. Well, I just so loved being here.
Yeah, it's been great getting to know you. You're so funny, so engaging. I know people are going to love this interview, and you have some really good information. I can't wait to go poke around on your website and see what other things that you have on there. And in our show notes, we will have her website, all her Amazon links, and her social media connections. So reach out to her. I'm sure she would be thrilled to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you. Please join us next week, where we have a special interview with our podcast hero, our first one, S.J. Herman. He is going to give us an update on everything he's been working on in the last year since we interviewed him. He's got some really cool things going on. He's got a movie. He's got a new book. I can't even begin to tell you all these various things, so listen next week and you'll find out. Catch you then. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.